Praise the Lord, everyone. Amen. It truly is good to be in the house of the Lord in the land of the living. I don't know about you, but the last 3 weeks have been a living hell for me. Been quite a fight, and I'm here to give the devil some payback, if you don't mind. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 14 through 17, and we'll also be looking at another scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57. And as you're turning there, I just want to testify about the Lord's mercy and about His continued keeping power, because as I just alluded to earlier, it has been quite a trial the last few weeks. Just in the last few weeks, I think our stove or our oven broke down at our house. We haven't had a working oven in about 3 or 4 weeks. And then we've been fighting sickness with my son, who's had pneumonia. My wife also had a very bad case. It's only by God's grace that she's even here today. Amen. We had to really fight against that. It got pretty serious at some points. But I want to, again, thank the Lord for His mercy. And that despite all that the devil has thrown at us, He has not prevented us from doing God's will. That even just last week, it was actually not last Tuesday, but the Tuesday before last, that I was in the kitchen and I was doing some dishes. And as I was standing there, I heard some popping sounds. And I didn't think that much of it in the distance. I heard these popping sounds. Didn't think really much of it. And then as I was walking into our living room, the curtains were completely drawn open. I saw a tall man wearing an all black and a black ski mask. And he was carrying a rifle and he was trying to stuff it in his pants. And he was walking right towards my house. And I just yelled to the children and everyone to get down because they wanted him to see us. And we all got down. And I watched as the man, he went right through my, like kind of the side of my house, went behind my house and into the alley. And had to call 911 to report it. But there had been a shooting in just about a house down from me. And thank God that the man did not come on my property or at least attack my house. And none of the bullets came into my house. I'm not sure if they apprehended the man, but I'm telling you here, the devil has been fighting, and I could go on all day about all the other things that the devil has been throwing at myself and the family, but I'm not here to give the devil no credit. Amen. Here to tell you that my prerogative, my endeavor today in this message is to give God the glory. And it is to bring the full manifestation of His honor and His glory and His victory in this place today. What, even though throughout all this stuff, the sleepless nights that I've had over the last month, the feeling I've been having in my spirit is the feeling of victory. Despite it all, 3 o'clock in the morning, we're praying. My wife is struggling just to get air in her lungs. And as I were praying, I, although my body was weary, in my spirit there was victory. There was the desire. There was the anthem of victory that was in my spirit. And I want to share that victory with you today. You've got 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say amen. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this: Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and unto the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. Paul the Apostle again writes to the Corinthian church, So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, He gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. I'm in the mood to fight. because the devil's been on my case for the last month. And as I said earlier today, today is payback day. I've come to serve him notice that his reign of terror ends today. That whatever victories or ground he thinks he has gained, he's about to lose. And he's about to lose big. Because the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I'm here to serve him notice. I'm here to shove my Holy Ghost foot up his behind. And let him say, Jesus is Lord after I'm done. I'm here to wage war against the enemy. I don't know if y'all hear me today. I'm saying there's victory in the house today. I've been through hell and high water, and I've come to collect payment of all that God has for me today. Somebody say yes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you right now for your goodness and for your mercy. That God, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that all that is in our midst and all that crawls and all that walks and breathes, one day will shout with all sincerity and with all in energy that you are King of Kings, that you are Lord. Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow and say that you are Lord. Let it be known today that there is only one God in heaven and that there is only one God in earth and his name is Jesus. And here today as your herald, O Lord God, I'm here to announce your kingdom and the occupation of your spirit in this place. Oh God, let your power reign in our midst. Have your way in this place. We give you the glory and the honor. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. You may be seated. The passage that we have just read, the first one in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to give you some context here. Because Paul is not making the statement lightly when he says, now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That in this epistle, we find out some context that Paul, like myself, had gone through great adversity and great calamity. If you look at chapter 1 of this epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8, he starts off his epistle by letting the church know that we have been through some mess and we are here by the skin of our teeth by the mercies of God. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. We just read in verse 8 that Paul says, the great apostle Paul said that he had been going through so much mess, that he'd been pressed beyond measure, beyond his limits, that he even despaired of life itself, that he wanted God just to kill him and just end it all. I mean, the man had been fighting and had been waging war for the kingdom of God, and he was wearied and was despairing of life in itself. He then recognizes the fact that these trials and these tribulations that he was going through helped him to understand that he had to put his trust in God and not in man. Paul goes on to say in this same epistle, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So he's telling the church, we've been going through some serious hell here. We've been pushed beyond our limits. We were so moved by the trials and the tribulations that were coming against us that we despaired of life itself. We wanted us ourselves to die. We wanted to end it all. But yet Paul then goes on to say and begin to thank and to praise God in our main text. Now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph. Now that's a very interesting clause that he puts there. He says God always always causes us to win. That we never lose whenever we go to war with the enemy. That we never lose when we are on mission for Jesus. He always comes through, consistent, never changing. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That God says that I am the Lord and I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That He is a consistent God. And when it comes to the subject of victory and for winning the cause, Paul says that this is the God that we serve. That He always causes us to triumph. Now, what is Paul's secret here? That despite all these calamities and tragedies and all the things that have befallen him, that he would make such a statement that God always causes us to win the victory. I want to kind of go over some secrets that he gives us. Look now in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the very first chapter in this epistle, starting at verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 says this: Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. One of the things that Paul recognized is that victory comes from God alone. It cannot be won or it cannot be attained by human effort. Even though Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, circumcised in the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, he was fluent in all of the laws of Moses. And the Bible says, touching the law, he was blameless. That he had all of this human ingenuity and intelligence and wit at his disposal. But these things could not rescue him from the travail and the tribulation that he was confronting. And so in the beginning of his epistle, as he alludes to again that we were pressed beyond measure, he starts by acknowledging first off that God is a merciful God, by calling him the Father of mercies, letting us know that it's only by God's mercy and it's only by God's power and it's only by God's grace that we are able to get the victory that we need. I want you to understand something. One of the problems that we have, that whenever we go to war with the enemy or that we are going through struggles, is that we rely on our own human initiative and our own human strength. And then when God brings us out of the trouble, we think that it was by our own strength, it was by our own selves that we got out of it. I want you to understand that we need to lose the spirit of entitlement. That one of the reasons that we lose is that we think that we deserve the victory. We deserve nothing. The air that is filling your lungs is only by God's mercy and only by God's grace. I know I've been saying this verse a lot, but it's been in my spirit for the last couple months. In Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness unto me. I want you to understand that the victory comes from God and God alone. The victory is His. The glory is His. The power and the honor is His. The Bible says in Psalms 50 verse number 9, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. No, I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. All the resources and the weapons that we wield, they come from God alone. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because the beasts of the forest are mine. The cattle of a thousand hills are mine. Don't you understand that all the glory and all the credit, it goes to God, and all the victory, it comes from God. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalm 24 verse 1 that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of our salvation. This is the generation that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be
lifted up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. God is my defender. God is my victory. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11, it says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. The victory belongs to Jesus. The glory belongs to Jesus.
Now I want you to understand something here. What trouble was Paul talking about? Now, in the first few texts I read, Paul was talking about trouble in Asia. But there was other troubles that he was dealing with. Turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 4, where Paul is giving us a bit of a clue about some specific trouble that pushed him to his limits. Where it says in 2 Corinthians 7, 4, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. I'll read that again. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. So let me get this straight. So the Bible said that without, around them, there was constant warfare and battle and chaos. And on the inside, he said, we were dealing with some serious fears. He's like, I'm scared of this. Things were getting so bad. What was Paul talking about? He says that this trouble had happened in Macedonia. We read in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 16, that the Bible said that he went to Philippi, which was a capital city in Macedonia. And when he was there, the Bible said that he began baptizing people and doing a great work for God. And as he did a work for God, the Bible said that there was a slave girl that was possessed with a demon spirit that troubled them day and night, saying that these are the men of God, that these are the men that come from the Most High God. And Paul got mad and he cast that devil out of that girl, but she was a fortune teller and brought her master's great gain and great fortune and great money. And so those men got mad and they imprisoned Paul, and they put him and his companion Silas in prison. And y'all know the story. He's in trouble. The Bible said they beat the mess out of him. He's sitting in prison in darkness in chains. But then it says at midnight they began to praise God and sing worship unto Jehovah, and that the prison was shaken and their bands were loose. He had trouble, but there was trouble on every side. But the Bible says he was not destroyed. They let him go. So then he went to another city in Thessalonica, which is another city in Macedonia. He's preaching the gospel there. And while he's preaching the gospel there, the Jews get all stirred up. There's a riot and there's all sorts of things that happen. They get beaten and they get run out of town. Then they go to Berea and they go to preach there. That's another town in Macedonia. While they're there preaching the gospel, the guys from Thessalonica hear that he's in Berea and come. They bring their whole posse and come to Berea and start trouble, start another riot, and get him kicked out of town. Now, isn't that something? Have you ever had you got over one problem and now you're dealing with something else, and your old problem comes to join your new problem to make a really big problem? That's what Paul was dealing with. His problems were getting together and having meetings. You know, at 5 o'clock, let's make Paul's life a living hell. How about that? Is that a good time for you? Oh yeah, Jimmy, that's a great time. Let's meet at 5 o'clock. We'll make Paul's life a living hell. It'll be great. We'll have a great time. That's what was happening. That Paul's troubles were having meetings together. Let's collaborate. Let's cooperate. And let's combine our strength to make Paul distress and lose his mind, having fightings outside around him and fears within him. But yet, despite this, Paul says, now thanks be to God that causes us to try. Now, I really want to break this down. Turn really back to 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now, thanks be to God that always causes us to try. This term that is used in the Greek is triamble, and this is what's called a Roman triumph. Paul is using a very specific term here for his audience. A Roman triumph was when a general had won a great battle, a great victory, And there's a criteria for this whenever this happened. And whenever he won this victory, he basically would have a parade, a procession from where he was all the way to the capital of Rome. And in this victory, to meet the criteria to get what's called a triumph, is that he had to slaughter at least 5,000 people in the battle. He had to take new territory for the country of Rome. And he had to bring back spoils back to the capital of Rome. And so whenever this happened, whenever he got a triumph and he got recognized for all these different things, he also had to be the direct commander on the field that won the battle, that got this new ground, that got new territory for the Empire of Rome. Whenever this happened, what they would do is they would then take all the spoils and they would take the captives. They would take the king who's the king of the country. They'd take the army that were left over. They'd have them in chains and they would parade him, preceding him. The state governors would go before this general, all the politicians, all the spoils of war, and the captives. They would also be marched in front of him before the general would come arrayed in some great outfit and them literally singing praises and hymns about how great this victory was. This is what Paul is talking about here. When it says that the Lord always causes us to triumph. Now, I want you to understand something here. If you read any modern translation, it talks about how he leads captives to triumph. In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not the soldiers that won the war necessarily. I'm one of the prisoners that's being dragged by the conquering general. The Bible said that Jesus, Paul calls himself a prisoner of Christ. He was captive. And what he's saying is that whenever Jesus leads us to triumph, that Jesus takes us captive. He catches us. We were fighting for the wrong team. We were fighting for the wrong side. And Jesus, when he came and he won the victory, he captured us from the other side. He then put us in the parade to precede him so everyone could see the victory that he won in capturing us. And as this parade is going on and everyone's looking at the captives, this must be a general must have won a great victory. When Jesus captured us and is leading us to the capital called heaven, everyone can see it. We are in a public display of the victory that Jesus has won. That's why the Bible said, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are under God as sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved. So them that are being paraded, the captives that are being paraded, everyone can see publicly that they have been captured by a great general and a victory was won. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus, he went on a parade before he went on his other parade. He went on a parade up to Calvary. The world thought that it was a death march, but Jesus said, I'm going to get my crown and going to get my victory. He always gives us the victory. And so now here's the thing. One of the reasons why that we don't see victory, because we've not let Jesus caught us yet. You've not surrendered to God and have been a captive to Jesus. You've not let Jesus truly capture you and have his way in you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. In other words, he took those that were captive and he made them his own captives to be used in preaching the gospel. Paul knew this because Paul, above anyone else, was working on the other side. Paul was trying to kill Christians. Paul was working with the Jews and trying to slaughter the church. And Jesus captured him and then paraded him around the world to preach the gospel and saying that God has given victory over my situation. We need to realize that the victory comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. And that Jesus needs to get the glory. But that's only going to happen when we fully surrender. And we fully submit and let God parade us. Let God lead us beside the still waters. And make us to lie down in green pastures. Let him restore our soul. That only happens when you surrender to God and acknowledge him as being the Father of mercies. And truly being in charge. And stop trying to get the credit for yourself for the victory and fighting in your own strength. Because it's God alone who gives us the victory. I want to encourage you today that if you are fighting and you are tired and the enemy is getting his best of you, I want you to realize where your help comes from, that it comes from God alone. And when you start saying that thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory, and the victory, it belongs to Jesus and Jesus alone, and only God can get me out of this, that is when deliverance comes and victory comes. It's when you recognize his mercy. I say this last thing that I want to get out your way. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, for which cause, the same epistle, for which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh through us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to repeat that again. Go back to verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. That even as the enemy is assaulting me and coming against me and everything is falling apart, the outward man is perishing. He may be attacking my body. He may be attacking my finances. He may be attacking my children. Things are falling apart. My job has been lost. My marriage may be falling apart. My family may have deserted me. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish. The Bible says the inward man, the spirit man is renewed day by day. As I told you earlier, that when I was in the middle of the fight, when the enemy even touched me with sickness and disease, I was sitting on my bed running a fever over 100 degrees, tired in my body. But then the Lord says, rely on my strength. And the word of the Lord came unto me, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think of, according to the power that worketh within us. And I just realized I need to rely on the Spirit and not on my flesh. And I got out of my bed and began to praise God and say, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I began to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. And I began to say, you know what, devil? This body belongs to God. You cannot have this body. This belongs to Jesus. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It belongs to Jesus. The healing belongs to Jesus. The victory belongs to Jesus. The glory belongs to Jesus. And before I knew it, I was completely healed. My fever was gone because I gave God the glory. Thanks be unto God that gives us the victory. God wants to encourage you today that victory is in the house. I know your body might be tired. I know the outward man is perishing, as I read earlier. But that next verse in 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That the Bible calls my affliction light. He calls it light. To call it light means he's got to be comparing it to something else. And what he's comparing it to is the glory, the anointing, the power of God that is in my life that he's giving unto me to fight the battle. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for which cause we faint not, or should say, for a light affliction which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For while we look not at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, if you can see it, it's temporary. If you can see it, you can outlast it. If you can see it, that means you can beat it. But you've got to realize that it's God that gives us the victory. Let's stand. I'm done. My objective in preaching this was to encourage you to continue to wage warfare against the enemy and to realize that it's God that gives us the victory. And that God wants to lead you in a parade under heaven to announce his coming and to announce the victory that he wrought at Calvary, to announce the victory that he wrought when he rose from the grave and he conquered death, hell, and the grave. He wants you to be his captive. Now, the thing about being a captive means you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere unless where your captor takes you. And we need to get back to a place of holiness where I want to go wherever Jesus takes me. I want to go wherever the glory is moving. I want the Holy Spirit to move on me. I want the Holy Spirit to direct me. You know, I want to sing a song, Brother Jordan. Can we go old school for a little bit? While I was praying for my wife, she was struggling for breath because of the pneumonia. This song came up in my spirit that in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. That in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that demons, they have to flee. Tell me, who can stand before us when we call on his great name, Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus? We have the victory. I began to sing that. I got a little dance in my step because the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God before us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I'm talking about victory today. I'm not talking about leaving here like we just left a funeral. That is unless it's the devil's funeral. We need to be living here with a dance in our step and praise our lips for what God has done. Somebody needs to get the victory. You've been wrestling all night, fighting all night, and God is saying, here, I've come to cause you to triumph. I'm here to give you the victory. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, somebody, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Someone needs to get a hold of the victory, that I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. We need to get a hold of the victory, that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody needs to get a hold of the victory. We're not fighting from a place of defeat. We don't deserve a sissified loser God. We serve the God of creation, King of kings and Lord of lords.
Thank you.
Come on, somebody, reach up and get it. Align your heart with God's. Lord, I receive the victory that you wrought at Calvary. I receive, Lord Jesus, what you did 2,000 years ago at that whipping post. That in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. Hallelujah. Y'all are catching this. Are y'all actually fighting anything? You don't want victory? Do you really want it? You're acting like you're scared or something. Do you want the victory? Then somebody praise God like you've already got it because you do. Begin to lift up your hands and begin to bless God for victory. Victory over sin. Victory over sickness. Victory over mental disease. Victory over all the attacks of the enemy. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Come on, somebody. I've come to get the victory. I've come to give God the praise. God gets the glory today. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's go ahead and sing. In the name of Jesus.
In the name
Hallelujah.
Of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We have
the victory.
Victory.
Come on, somebody. Victory.
In the name of Jesus.
You've been fighting. You've been crying.
In the name of Jesus.
But Jesus has outgiven you the victory.
Amen.
You've got to flee. Tell me, who can stand before us when we call?
Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus.
We have
victory.
Victory in the name of Jesus. Begin to bless God like you believe it. Begin to praise God like it's yours. He gets the victory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.